So I have a quick question for you. How many of you are Scrooges like Troy and have already taken down all of your Christmas decorations? Just a few. Okay, you guys are much better than first service because like most of them had already taken down their Christmas decorations. This season we've been talking about Christmas decorations. We talked about the fact that we are the reason for the season. We talked about the star on top of the tree and winning light displays. Well, today we're going to talk about keeping our Christmas decorations up all year long. Troy didn't get the memo apparently, and he decided to take down all of our Christmas decorations already. So awkward, but we're gonna go forward. I can remember when I used to live in Indianapolis, and I was on the Homeowners Association board. So we got together every once in a while and talked about stuff and voted on things. And every year, about March, we would have this discussion every single year. Can we start sending out letters to all of our neighbors who still have their Christmas decorations up? And I can remember every year I would argue with them and say, why is this such a big deal? They're not turning their lights on, they're just leaving them up so they don't have to put them up again next year. Why do we need to send them a letter? And every year, I would get outvoted, and we would send letters to our neighbors, please take down your Christmas decorations. Well, today, we're going to talk about keeping your Christmas decorations up all year long. So let's pray, and then let's get into this. God, we thank you for being the God that you are. You are an awesome and amazing God, and pray that you be with us right now as we continue worship through your word, that we can dig into what your word says, that it can move and affect and change all of us. And we just pray that you be with us time right now, that it brings honor and glory to your name. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So when it comes to the idea of Christmas decorations all year long, I think it comes from a misunderstanding that we have. So I want to jump into a scripture that we've read several times so far this Christmas season. And it's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And this is what it says. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem today. See, I think sometimes the reason why we are in such a hurry to remove Christmas, I don't know about any of you guys, but you know when Walmart on like November 1st starts putting out their Christmas stuff and people are like frustrated about that. I can tell you that on November 1st, my ringtone was a Christmas ringtone. I didn't really even wait for Halloween to be over. I'm just like, all right, it's time. I'm putting a Christmas ringtone on there. It's still on there. I listen to Christmas music in July. I love Christmas, and I will celebrate it all year long. But I think one of the reasons that we don't really jump into this is we confuse the difference between happiness and joy. See, there's a difference between the two of them. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is an emotion. It's an emotion that's brought on by our circumstances. Jennifer right now is downstairs with the middle schoolers. She's teaching the middle school Sunday school class, and I have her permission to say this. I said it last service, and she was sitting here. But Jennifer, I know what brings Jennifer happiness. Happiness for Jennifer is Starbucks. It's a grande cafe mocha, two-pump chocolate, and sometimes she wants the whipped cream and sometimes she doesn't. It just, I don't know how it's going to go. And it happens the same way every time. We pull up, I order her drink, we pull up, and the guy hands me the thing, and she takes it. It doesn't matter what time of year it is, whether it's cold or warm outside, she takes the cup in both hands, she gets this cute little smile on her face, and she takes a sip, and she goes, happiness in a cup. She's downstairs. She's probably telling the same story to the kids right now. Happiness for her comes from Starbucks. But it's not joy. See, happiness is just an emotion that we get from our circumstances. Because what happens when the Starbucks runs out? Matt has to go to Starbucks again and order another drink and bring it home just to keep her happy. Eventually, we run out of money because Starbucks ain't cheap. And then, where do we go from there? We have no source of happiness. But so often in our lives, we mistake happiness for joy. That's why we get addicted to things like drugs and alcohol and sex, pornography. We get addicted to those things because they bring us happiness. And we confuse the happiness with joy. What happens to happiness is eventually it goes away. And now I need more of what made me happy in the first place. And then that runs out and I need more. And then that runs out and I need more. And I just keep bringing these things that really aren't changing who I am. They're just bringing me a temporary sense of happiness. But see, joy is a state of being that's brought on by our inner convictions. So I told you that Jennifer's happiness comes from Starbucks, but her joy does not come from Starbucks. If Starbucks closed down today, she'd be upset, but it wouldn't fundamentally change who she is. You saw what the angel said to the shepherd. When the angel came, he said, "Don't be afraid, for I bring you good news that will bring a happy time for everyone." It's not what he says, because happiness eventually goes away. I mean, he comes to the shepherds and says, "Hey, you're going to be happy when you go see the baby, but then when you go home, you're not going to be happy anymore, and then you're going to have to find something else." He says, "No, I bring you a message that's going to bring great joy to all people." Because joy is about who we are, not about the circumstances around us. Now, I'm a picky eater, and when I go and order a cheeseburger, I absolutely cannot stand pickles. Like, with everything and within my being, pickles are, they're nasty. And when I go out to a restaurant and I order a cheeseburger, and I say, "I would like a plain cheeseburger," because I also don't like ketchup and mustard. So I order myself a plain cheeseburger. And then the waiter, waitress, whatever, and they bring me the cheeseburger. And you go to the fancy places. They don't put mustard and ketchup on there. They bring you the bottles. And then they bring you on the side lettuce, tomato, onion, and pickles. And sometimes they just stack them on the bun off to the side. And they're like, "Well, if you don't like them, you can take them off." But if any of you don't like pickles, pickles stain everything they touch. You cannot remove pickle taste from your burger. Once they're on there, the taste, it just, it's on there. The burger's ruined. I have to decide in those situations. Burgers make me happy, if you can't tell. Burgers make me happy. I have to decide, am I going to be happy about my burger, or do I need to be joy-filled as a person? And so that leads me to the point where when they bring me the burger and it's got the pickles already on it, I can say with love in my heart, "Can you please take that back and bring me a burger without pickles?" And when you get the really good waiter or waitress, they're like, "I'm so sorry." And my response is always, "It's just a burger. It's not that big of a deal." Why? Because in about 5 minutes when they bring me out a new burger, they're going to see me sit and pray with my family and act like a Christian. But I wasn't acting like a Christian when I got mad because there was pickles on my burger. Because, let's be honest, it's 15 years of working Papa John's taught me, it's just pizza, okay? It's not that big of a deal. Those are the opportunities that we have to see the difference between happiness and joy. Can I still be joy-filled when I'm not happy? Yes. I can still do these things. I can still exude joy. Paul tells us in Romans 15, he says, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with the confident hope through the power of his Holy Spirit." See, he's saying there that God gives us this sense of joy and it overflows. It just comes out of us. That's who we are. We are people of joy. Sometimes in life, things aren't pleasant. But we still get to be people of joy. We have to remember that there's a difference between the joy and the happiness that we're going through. So how do we concentrate? What is it in there that makes us people of joy? Paul says this in Romans 8. And if you don't know this, I love Romans chapter 8. It is my favorite chapter in all of the Bible. Because when I was in college, I had to memorize all of chapter 8. And it comes back to me all the time. I absolutely love it. This is what Paul says. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. I mean, if we stop right there, does that bring joy to your life? Does it bring joy to know that because of Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation for us? It doesn't say, because of Christ Jesus, we're going to lessen your sentence just a little bit. Because of what Christ Jesus has done for you, we're going to let you go on parole. We're going to let you go on good behavior. No, it says, because of Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. That just brings joy to me, to know that all the stupid stuff that I've done, all of the punishment that I deserve, I have no condemnation because of Christ Jesus. He says, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirements of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. See, we have freedom in this. And it's this weird dichotomy to talk about freedom in the church because I tell the kids this all the time. We are all slaves. Every single person in this room is a slave. Every person on this planet is a slave. But here's the awesome thing. We get to pick who our master is. That's what Paul tells us here. He says, there's no condemnation because of Jesus, and you no longer, this spirit over here, this selfish spirit that leads to death. When we choose to follow this spirit, it's going to lead us to death. But we've got the spirit of Jesus over here, who came and lived in a human body, lived a perfect life, and died for us. Which master do we want to serve? Do we want to serve this master over here that leads to death? Or do we want to serve this master over here that died for us? As a former social studies teacher, I got to study religions a lot. I studied a lot of the world religions because I had to teach them and I had to understand them. And here's one thing that I learned. Christianity is the only religion where our God came to die for us instead of requiring us to die for him. See, we have a master that loves us so much, he came for us and died for us. Doesn't that bring, it just brings joy to know that I don't have to pay attention to my selfish nature anymore. That my selfish nature that I know is going to lead me to death and destruction, I don't have to listen to it anymore because of what Jesus has done for me. You see, we should have joy because Jesus died for us. That just, it comes out of us. That just, it brings us to this place of, it should just be who we are at all times. Paul says, again in Romans 8, he says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. So Paul has given us permission right there to ignore our sinful nature. You don't have to listen to it. You can ignore it. You know, when you're driving, my Hondas have these wonderful things that tell you when your tire pressure is low. The only problem with it is, if you know anything about cars, in the wintertime when you start it up in the morning, the tire pressure is always low. And I know that if I drive this car for 5 minutes, it's going to warm up and the pressure light's going to go away. I just know that the light is going to turn off. I have permission. I can ignore that light. But you know, sometimes there's those lights that come on and you can't ignore them, like that check engine soon light. That's not a good one to ignore, because then you end up with a blown engine or something like that. See, Paul is giving us permission to ignore that indicator light that keeps blinking on, saying, pay attention to me, pay attention to me. Paul is giving us permission to ignore it because of what Jesus has done. Because if we live by it, it will lead to death. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. See, Paul is telling us here, you don't have to pay attention to that anymore. Because the Spirit over here, the Spirit of Jesus that came and died for us, not only is he our master, but now, like, we're family. You get that whole adoption thing that's in there. That we are now his family. And that's a whole different relationship. The word here, Abba Father, we're not entirely certain exactly what it means, but this is what we can come up with. It's a very familiar way to refer to your father. I don't know about you, but when I call my father up on the phone, I'm like, hello, father, how art thou today? No, I call him dad. If I picked the phone right now and said, hey, father, what's up? He'd be like, who are you? Because I don't call him that. I call him my dad. I like to think of it this way, that Abba Father is kind of like our ability to say Daddy God. You ever think about that? God that loves us so much, that sent Jesus to die for us, that we get to call him Daddy? That's a very intimate relationship there. Now, Jennifer and I were, you know, right before bed last night, I'm just scrolling through Facebook and saw this video. And usually I look at the videos and just watch them and don't turn the sound on. But for some reason, I just clicked on it. And I'm like, I want to listen to this video. There's this kid sitting at Christmas and is opening a Christmas present. And the kid opens the present and he pulls out this thing wrapped in tissue paper. And the lady in the room says, open the picture. So he opens the picture and kind of looks at it. And he puts it off to the side. And she says, now read the note. And so the kid picks it up and he reads the note and it says, this is our latest family picture, and we have decided that in next year's family picture, we want you in it. We're inviting you to join our family. Would you like to become, and I remember the name of the family, would you like to become a part of our family? And the kid just, I mean, tears, just instant, like he starts crying. Grandma's in the back crying. Jennifer and I are there laying, watching it. We're crying. We're watching this, and this lady gets up, and she comes as he sits down on the floor with him, and wraps her arms around him and gives him a big kiss and says, do you want to become a part of our family? And through the tears and everything, he's just like, yes. That's what we get right here. That's the power we have. That's the joy we have. We're not called. We don't have to worry about this anymore. This sinful nature, all this stuff that goes on, that's not ours to be concerned with anymore, because we are now God's children. We are his family. And you treat family a whole lot differently than you treat a servant. That just brings joy. To me, it just brings this idea that, man, I'm family. I've been called by him. I get to go to dinner with him. Like, there's that DC or the Audio Adrenaline song, Big, Big House. Like, that's, I'm looking forward to that. Going and just having fun, chilling with Jesus. I mean, that's just going to be great. That just brings joy to me. So how do we take this joy and live it all year long? How do we take this Christmas decoration of joy, and how do we keep that up all year long? We live a life of joy through our attitudes and our actions. So we've got to take this joy and we've got to do something. Amara, I need you up here for a second. I love that. When you guys, if you ever have the chance to teach or something and you're just talking and doing your thing and then you say somebody's name and that look like, oh shoot, what did I do? It looked very nice this morning, Amara. Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
You did have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, I have a Christmas present here for you. This is specifically for you. Don't open it. You can't open it.
Okay.
Are you enjoying your Christmas present? Yeah? That was very tentative. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't it a nice Christmas present? Are you looking forward to having that? You can like take it home, put it on a bookshelf. Like, this is the Christmas present that Matt gave me. Yeah. Do you want to open the Christmas present?
Yeah.
Okay, you can open the Christmas present. I wrapped it myself. I used lots of paper and tape. Because that's what guys do. We just get lots of paper and put it on there. And lots of tape to hold it together. So, I got you happiness in a cup. So, okay. Thank you, Amara. See, we have to take the joy that we have and we have to do something with it. What good would it have been for me to give her that? She got a $5 Starbucks gift card. What good would it have done for me to give her that gift and for her never to open it? But see, that's what life is like. If you call yourself a Christian but don't have joy in your life, it's like having Christmas lights and never plugging them in. Having a Christmas present and never opening it. We've got to take what's been given to us and we have to do something with it. That joy should just come out of us. Paul tells us this in Philippians chapter 4. He says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." I have a problem with that. Because sometimes I don't feel like being joyful. Sometimes I don't feel like it. You know, when stuff goes on, when the problems of life come up, I don't feel happy. I'm not happy. And I don't want to be joyful. But Paul says here, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, he's telling us here to live a life of peace, that we have to live it. We have to live this life of joy, that even when things go on that we don't want to go on, we still have to be joyful. When we're worrying about things, he says, pray about it. And God's going to give you peace that you're never going to understand. He says, we have to be just completely full of this joy at all times. And he gives us two ways to do this. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. See, this is the attitude that we have to have. We have to have an attitude of, I'm looking for the joy in my life. I'm looking for the ways to be joy-filled. You know, I don't know how many of you guys have ever noticed this. If you're driving, you see this at wrecks all the time. You see, there's a wreck off to the side of the road, and everybody's driving past it, and everybody does the same thing. They all look at the wreck. And if you ever notice cars, as they drive past wrecks, they all start to go towards the wreck. Why? Because we drive where we look. I tell people in the track all the time, when you're running and you're in first place, don't look behind you. Because I guarantee you, if you look behind you, they're going to pass you. Why? Because you slow down when you look back. Why? Because we go where we look. So Paul is telling us here, focus on the things that are right, the things that are admirable. Look at those things. And you're going to find yourself in the right place. I had this, it was probably about 9 months ago. It was last track season. I was pulling up to the track for a high school meet. And I'm driving, and I got to the entrance to the track. And this truck stops right in front of me. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not very joy-filled when I'm in the car. My family has told me this recently. You know that left lane is for passing? And I'm like, get out. And apparently I'm not very joy-filled, and I've made my family not want to ride in the car with me sometimes. So I'm sitting, and I'm driving up in front of the track, and this truck stops, like right in front. And it's like in the middle of the road, and I can't get past it. And I'm like, I can see the parking spot I want. It's right there. Get the truck out of my way. But you ever have those times where God, like, speaks to you and says, like, shut up and just pay attention to what's going on here. I got something I want to teach you. This was one of those times. I'm getting frustrated, and I'm like, get the truck out of my way. I want to go park. And God says, I just want you to shut up and pay attention. I'm like, fine. What's taking so long? Why is this truck stopped here? Then the lady gets out of the driver's side, and I'm like, oh, she's getting out of the truck. This is going to take even longer. And I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting angry because I'm not focused on being joy-filled. I'm not very happy, and I'm just focused on that. She gets out, and she walks to the front of the truck, and she walks around. She comes to the passenger side. She opens the door, gets a walker out, and helps her husband out of the car so that he can get the walker and that he can walk in. I felt like an idiot. Because I was so focused on my sinful nature. I was so focused on the fact that I'm now a minute late getting into the parking spot. What did it matter? But I was so focused on me and what I wanted to do and where I needed to be and my sinful nature, me. I couldn't pay attention. I wasn't focused on what I needed to be focused on. Could I have gotten out and helped? Could I have sat there and been patient? It was an opportunity for me to be joy-filled, and I totally messed it up. And Paul goes on to tell us this. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. When your attitude is right, your actions follow along. When your attitude is, I'm looking for ways to be joy-filled, guess what? You will find ways to be joy-filled. When you are in a difficult situation and you are, I am focused on being joy-filled, you will be joy-filled. Several years ago, my family started this tradition. It was Jennifer's idea. We were going through some stuff, and there was some depression starting to come into our family. And Jennifer got this idea that at supper every night, we make it a point to eat dinner together. And at dinner, we have a practice that we have to say our good thing for the day. That something good that has gone on that day that we can point to that's going to cause us to have joy. Some days, it is really difficult to come up with something good from the day. We always have to stop and think, is there something good? Is there something that brings me joy that happened today? Because when we're focusing on looking for something to be joy-filled about, we will find something to be joy-filled about, and it will come out of us. What do we do in those times when it's difficult? Paul says this. He says, how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me. I know you have always been concerned about me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. It's one of the most misquoted verses in all of Scripture. I guarantee you, next month at the Super Bowl, somebody from the winning team is going to take off their jersey and their pads, and they're going to have a t-shirt that says Philippians 4:13, and they're going to walk up and they're going to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And one of the players from the losing team is going to be walking off, and underneath his jersey, he has a t-shirt that says the same thing. So Jesus only helped this team, but not helped this team. I'm going to say something controversial right now. God doesn't care who wins the Super Bowl, unless it's the Patriots, and then he really doesn't want them to win. See, this verse does not say that God is going to allow me to do whatever I want. It says that when things are good, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When life is horrible, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That joy just comes up out of us. It becomes who we are in those situations. We get the opportunity to live this out by being joy-filled. We're getting ready to sing. We're getting ready to sing a song. I love this song. We sang it last week. I pay attention to the words of the songs that I sing a lot. I started this several years ago teaching Sunday school. I taught songs in Sunday school. I taught popular songs that the kids are listening to on the radio because I like to listen to their words and like to hear the messages they have. We're actually, next Sunday, we're going to start doing this Sunday night with the kids again. We're going to take a couple weeks, go through some songs, and learn what the song is actually saying. And if you're in here as a parent and you're like, I really want to know how to listen to songs better and help, I'm going to teach parents how to listen to music. Because sometimes we listen to it and we're like, I don't like this song because it doesn't sound like the song I sang. I guarantee you it's saying the same thing that your song said. Like, I'm listening to 80s songs because I listen to the oldies radio, and 80s songs are on the oldies radio. I don't get it. I'm not that old. But I listen to the songs and I'm like, they're singing the same thing. They're just a different beat. Then I listen to songs from the 50s and I'm like, I'm singing the same song. It's just with a different beat. So I want to take some time to dig into these. So if you're a parent and wants to know, there's some information in the program about that. I think it's important for us to pay attention to lyrics because we're getting ready to sing the song. And in the song, it talks about the fact that we were dead and we're in the grave. We're over here in this spirit that leads us to death. And then it says, and he called my name, and I ran out of that grave. We get the opportunity to sing a song about this change. And here's what I want you to do. I sang this last week, and some people clapped, and I thought that was pretty good. But we're going to add some motions today. So everybody needs to stand up. I know we don't let the youth minister preach because he makes us do stuff. All right, so there's going to come a point in the song where it says, and he called my name, and I ran out of that grave. When we get to that point, this is what you're going to do, okay? When it gets to that point, you're going to say, and I ran out of that grave. And if you want to jump, Troy actually jumps a little bit. He can jump and play guitar at the same time. That's pretty good. You want to jump? You want to get into it? Get into it. Because the joy we feel in Christ should come out of us. This is an opportunity for us to worship and to sing and just be like, this is just awesome. I mean, the fact that we're called by a God that loves us so much, he died for us, we get called out of that grave, that's awesome. Let's pray and then let's get into this. Dear God, we just thank you for being the God that you are. You are an awesome God. You are a God that loves us. You are a God that's called us. You're a God that's died for us. And you didn't leave us there. God, we pray that you'd be with us as we continue to worship right now, that we can take that joy and that we can just live it out with all that we have and with all that we do. Because you are truly awesome. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.